I'm really pleased and honored to have the energy called Julius and the human forms known as Brad and Casey here with me. And if you've known their work, fantastic. You're in for a treat. You know it. And if you have not yet, well, you're going to be in for an awesome surprise. I would like to welcome Brad and Casey and Julius to the Dare to Dream show. Welcome.
Oh, it's our absolute honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For anybody who does not yet know you, what is Julius? Who is Julius?
Julius is a high light intelligent group of energy and wisdom that have held human form here on this realm. Like every other physical embodiment that comes, all of us who are on our spiritual journey, they finally mastered theirs and were able to ascend off. The extraordinary thing is that they had a very personal relationship with my husband, Brad. Their last incarnated life was around 1,500 years ago. They had this incredible agreement to continue to work with Brad on his conscious journey. Brad's incarnated in different lives. Julius has been with him here and there and everywhere. In this particular life, Brad acquired a massive brain injury, and Julius decided to step up and heal him. And I've had the honor of harnessing the transmission of Julius, providing the conduit for them to speak through so that they could work their healing and their conversation to open Brad's mind and expand him beyond his limitations. And then he was crazy enough to throw me in front of live audiences as Julius because he felt so strongly that their message was relevant for everybody on their conscious journey, which we're all on.
You used a word, transmission, that through Brad's experience and subsequent healing by Julius, it was offered to you or brought upon you to take on this energy. So are you saying that you didn't channel before this happened? This is all new for you?
As this profound experience, yes. But the truth is, of course, we all trickle into our gifts as we allow them to be. My busyness of my life passed it off because I was busy. I had children. I had a business. I had a marriage that was failing. I had distraction. And so I would get it. I would get it periodically with people. We'd have conversation and some information would come through and other people would be, where did that come from? And I didn't know what they were talking about. And I had to get on with it. Timing is everything. We all know that. And so is intermingling and connection. And when all of those things meet, the cosmic tumblers fall into place and the profound experiences that we are meant to have show up.
And Julius, is that as in Caesar? Is that as in the month of Julius or July? Or where does the name come from?
It's Caesar. It is. Yeah. Which is mostly what everybody gets the first minute they hear the name. We didn't always put that information out because we didn't want people to get overly distracted with that. Brad was a very, very dear friend at that time. Even in that life, he acquired a brain injury and died. Is that crazy?
That's crazy, actually. Yeah. To repeat history like that. Why?
Yeah. At that time, Herod, who was Brad, was Herod at that time, actually did the teachings to Julius that helped him go. So then Julius was like, well, I guess we'll return the favor, right? Yeah.
And to wait that long.
Right.
For recompense, too.
Well, he's pretty stubborn.
I didn't forget.
Yeah. He's pretty stubborn. So they've probably been trying for a really long time. But more than that, it's the deeper, profound wisdom, more than the characters that we play, more than the costumes that we wear. It's where, when, how, why we are able to access all of our wisdom and what inspires that for us. And it's the runners that show up. It's the lovers that show up. It's the children, the parents, the friends. And when we get out of our altered ego and our judgment, we realize all the gifts around us and everything unfolds.
Then I do want to ask you, is there anything you want to add to that story?
The most fascinating thing that I have found with this whole experience with Julius has been, number one, I didn't go looking for it. This was certainly not something I had been pursuing. The spirituality business was certainly not even a consideration for me in my life at the time that all of this came about. And the fact that I've theoretically had to hit myself over the head four times in this lifetime to finally get it, to get the point, is really kind of amazing when you think about it. But I've also learned that when you're ready to take that next step, the doors open, and until you're ready, they're not, they won't open. You can force it all you want, but it's just a process, and human beings are just so impatient with the process. And if you become patient and patient, it works itself out.
Okay. I feel like you were just talking to me. Thank you. Yeah.
That allowing process.
Yeah. This is Debbie Dashinger, and you're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Do you love wine? Do you enjoy drinking it or sharing it? Well, maybe you know a lot about wine, maybe you don't. Thanks for entrusting me with picking and choosing the most amazing wines from all over the world and delivering them to your home or business. You will receive as few or as many bottles of wine as you like, with tasting notes in your magical box of wine, detailing the regions, the history, and even food and wine pairing. We will deliver to you the best wine in the world. So get in, get wine, get social at directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Sit back and truly enjoy our wines, because we take great pride. We have invested a great deal of time selecting the most incredible wines from all over the world we know you'll enjoy and want to share. At directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/DebsWineWonders. Yum.
Can we invite Julius to the party?
Oh, they're here.
They're here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Hmm. You talk about the grid.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Explain, Lucy. Explain the grid.
So, Masters, physical embodiments are a derivative or a slowed-down version of thought frequency. We describe source as all thought, because everything comes from a thought. Everything starts with a thought. So, in a way, we describe source as a substance that you create from. That means it's everything, all possibility. It's extraordinary. It really is. That means it's everything for everybody. And the expressiveness of that thought is the expansion of Source. That's what souls do. That's what souls do. You are these magnificent providers of Source knowing itself through the expansiveness of thought, which you do by feeling a thought and demonstrating it. Okay? You did this in your creation of all that is, in your creation of all that was physical. And when you developed this physical plane, you danced with joy in the midst of your creation. And yet you desired so much to play on the realm for which you demonstrated. But you couldn't, because you were light configuration, and light passes through matter. So the very last thing that you developed on the physical plane was your own physical embodiment, so that you may interact and know all that you are. When you slow your energy down from light, which is exactly what you do, from light, gastric movement and polarity is created, and then particles of matter start to adhere. But they adhere to something. They adhere to an energetic gridding pattern that you create through your thought intention for the configuration that you desire to experience. Okay? Kind of like a Superman suit that shows up before all of the rest of your filling in takes place.
Spider-Man's actually a better...
That's correct.
You know, the webbing.
That's correct. The webbing effect.
That gives you kind of an idea of the way that works.
Right. That is a thought matrix grid, because it's the gridding effect of thought intention that's about to be developed and about to be expressed through. Okay? Upon original creation, that grid is very pure, very high frequency, and full of potential. When you've come into a physical embodiment, you don't lose the grid. It's still imprinted. It's what holds everything together, so to speak. We spoke about that. So thought consciousness, or thought, holds you together. They do that. It does that by creating a thought matrix grid that particles of matter adhere to. Got it? Super cool stuff, right? This grid does extraordinary things, but most human beings experience that this grid attracts fear-based energy, and it builds almost like a crustacean around this grid. And all of your thoughts pass through this grid, and your perception of a thought is what creates your reality. So if you perceive almost every thought that you receive with an imprint of fear, you have a life full of limitation. As we go on our conscious journey, we recognize this limitation and we do extraordinary things. We go on conscious journeys and we seek truth and wisdom and the expression of that. Most human beings, at best, kind of bounce around. They have high moments, they have low moments. They can't find a consistent flow of limit release because their grid is not being worked on. We help you reconfigure the aspect of your grid or the perception that your grid holds. So all you do is process for thought with a high frequency of love.
I would like some of that, please.
It's extraordinary. Right.
Let's put it in some different verbiage, okay? If you are the powerful being that people talk about,
that you've been promised to be.
That you've been promised to be by others. And if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. If you are that powerful being and you create everything in your life, that's how the grid works. Because you literally are the architect of the grid. Mm-hmm. Not somebody else. Mm-hmm. You are. You've created the grid before you came here.
So the grid is created by perceptions that you have accepted. Mm-hmm. Okay? because we already hear people say, well, we can't help it if all this fear has been imprinted on our grid. And we say, well, that is kind of a truth. That is your perception when you fall into victimhood and non-responsibility. But the truth is, you even choose your abuse. Is that not true?
Okay? No, think about that.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
That's
the best news.
Right.
Because that means you can change that. If we told you that you were victims, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. You are.
Right. No choice.
Okay.
Then.
Right. So the thoughts now. The thoughts that you have accepted have probably been influenced. We understand that. A lot of the thoughts that you accept follow patterns in a family, follow patterns in society, because you want to be accepted. You don't want to be punished. You want, and the worst type of punishment for a human physical embodiment is isolation. Okay? So we understand how this acceptance has worked. You probably don't. That's what happens in your subconscious mind, which is why you keep accepting thought patterns that are familiar and safe for you. So even though you're trying to have higher frequency thoughts, they've got kind of this poisoned ingredient inside of them that keeps spoiling the cake. You can't figure out why.
Right.
Okay. When you understand this, we teach you how to change what you accept, broaden your acceptance, okay? Let go of your victimhood, which is very challenging, but extraordinarily empowering. Let go of judgment, or master beyond the componented limitations of judgment. And we help you reconfigure your grid so that ceiling dissolves and you are everywhere, anywhere that you choose to be. Your life is always a demonstration of what you know. That can hurt sometimes, but it's true. So the more you know, the more your life becomes. And this lets go of the only things you know being fear, and allows you to only know love, which is the extraordinary.
Humans are afraid of two things in this existence. And everything is based upon those two elements. The first one is fear, and the second one is how powerful they are. Mm-hmm. We teach you to be powerful.
Yeah, to embrace that.
And to eliminate the fear that's in your life.
Mm-hmm. I feel like diving more into the potency part than anything else, because if what I'm hearing, whatever I would address, what about this, what about that, it's all really going to be the same answer, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started playing today, this morning and last night, after I heard you guys speak at the Conscious Life Expo, and it just gave me all these new thought forms. You were talking about, what if you were that man over there?
Right.
Wouldn't that be a cool thing to experience? Or what if you choose anything? And so I was thinking, what if I just chose, you know, it's all a play anyway, just mm-hmm. start choosing and start acting as though and going with the flow. And I'm this kind of person and I'm that, and I can really put on any human suit I want. So I had a little bit of feeling of that, and it was a lot more fun than what I was feeling before I chose that. Mm-hmm. So I like to talk more about that premise mm-hmm. and what's possible for people.
It's the concept of the open mind, Master, the open mind. It's going anywhere with your thoughts that you normally don't go. And when we say normally, we talk about all the frickin' time. People have no idea that they mostly process kind of just a handful of the same thoughts over and over and over again. If you knew that a thought was like the beach and thoughts were grains of sand. And most human beings reach down in the sand, grab a handful, drop all the sand, and then the only thing remaining are the few fragments. That's how much thought you process in a life.
It's very sad. It's very sad when you've got an entire beach upon right. planet of beaches.
And that's the open-minded concept. So when we talk about dropping judgment, we talk about dropping judgment of thought. So the whole beach is accessible to you. And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I just couldn't even handle that much thought. And we say, well, actually, you're source and you're the launching of all of that. So it really becomes familiar playground for you. That's when people find their alignment once they dare to get out of what has become a limitation through the physical perception.
Now, you sat in a program and heard for just a brief few minutes us, and you went home and changed your thought pattern for fun, and it changed your whole perspective.
Yeah.
For just a brief moment, because those were the words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
For just a brief moment.
The purpose is the joy that it brings. The joy that it brings.
What if you do that all the time? Mm-hmm. Can you see the change?
You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio, and this is Debbie Dashinger. When we come back, we'll hear more wisdom from our guests. In the meantime, I highly recommend that you subscribe to my YouTube channel. You'll find tons of inspiration and other interviews there. Go to youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My bestseller book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
You've had enough of seeking for your purpose. You are ready to start living it. Right now, you only need one answer. What realizing your life's purpose will look like. How exactly will you do that? You don't want to make another mistake, change careers, only to feel trapped and bored again. You want to absolutely know what your special gift is and who you are meant to serve with your gift. Great business ideas are just that. They are aligned with your true essence and make a profound difference in somebody else's life. Get your free Activate Your Life's Purpose call with Lyra Kay, an international best-selling author, quantum success business, life coach, and your creative genius activator. Lyra Kay will help you take the next step today so you can make an impact and realize your potential now. Book your call at shesgotpassion.com.
If you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast. I'm interviewing Casey and Brad Wallace and the energy known as Julius. You can find out more at expandwithjulius.com.
I have the intention of things happening, unfolding today, miraculous. And I started to actually create a limitation. I heard myself saying, and, you know, things that I don't expect, and they can be like, and then something you had said the night before, I thought, oh, if we're completely limitless, why am I even saying that and creating that sort of prediction?
Right.
What? Bring it. I'm going to say miracle, you know, right, with the staff and the bush and the whatever happened.
Right.
Let's really demonstrate.
Right.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
So I corrected myself, but I enjoyed what I heard, and I thought it was very opening about what's possible. And I can even feel as we're talking now, this is just a crack.
It is. It is just a crack. And when people hear the comment, we're going to help you change the way you think, that's very intimidating to them because they think it's about mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's the farthest thing from that. We're trying to get you to recognize that no matter what you do during your day, you're already thinking a certain way because that's what you're attracting.
Well, the funny thing is you actually, you do mind control. You limit the thoughts that you allow in. So this is actually letting go of the control and processing through an allowing configuration, which is not limiting and not fear-based. Control is very fear-based. It's the illusion of finding empowerment in something outside of yourself because you are afraid of the power from within. So you choose to try to control the elements around you. This is the allowing process, knowing that all souls are safe, And everything is a reflection of who I am being. So all I need to do is be the highest version of myself, and everything flows perfectly in that order. The only time disruption occurs, tragedy occurs, and a lot of the sadness and trauma that happens in our lives is you've dipped. That's also good news, because you're the one doing that. We just need to get you consistent up in the high tide pool rather than up and down with the shifting tides. And you can do it, because thousands have hit a state of consciousness where they ascend their physical bodies off of this realm. Many have been written in books and doctrines, but there are tens of thousands that have not been written about. And that is ultimately where you will go. You will no longer have to extract your soul out of a physical body, implement it into another physical body, which is quite traumatic on your soul. And you can have the seamless, smooth transition of your experiences. So that will also help continually reinforce your empowerment rather than the victimhood that the extraction continually supports on your subconsciousness. We just got to get you there. And how do you get there? Desire is first. You'd be amazed at how many people don't want it. They're afraid.
When you say they don't want it, what is it?
All their empowerment. They're afraid of it.
Okay. What does empowerment look like?
Empowerment looks like the feeling of extraordinary and bliss. So it's not a visual. It's an emotional capacity. What has been your happiest moment in your life that you could remember? And we would tell you it doesn't even scrape the surface of what you can maintain in a continual. So that's an inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's a potential. It is the promise that you made yourself when you came to the physical that you would eventually get back there. So that's the only reason you were brave enough to come. But a lot of people lost their way on the path by forgetting all of that. There's no wrong path. Don't misunderstand us. Every path leads to your expansion, but the forgetfulness is what can seem to be that cement that you can't move, that you can't move. So it's a remembering process.
And you started by saying that in order to stop this shifting, this up and down, and to bring us into a new consciousness, but also vibrate at this very high level, that the first thing would be desire.
Right.
And you're talking about to desire it, meaning this beautiful, blissful, euphoric space that we can live in.
That you actually are. Mm. You've just been buried in the altered ego mind. Mm. So we love it enough to raise it as well with us. We tell people to not have the perception that an altered ego mind is a bad thing, because you can't ever get rid of anything that you hate. You have to love it into shifting with you. Mm-hmm. And then you master it. Right?
Yeah.
Now, when that happens, there was a wonderful movie out a few years ago called Avatar.
Yeah.
And that plane of existence just seemed to be a level up, didn't it?
Yeah.
The colorations, the movements, the sounds. That's what your life becomes here. You do not live in the reality that everybody else does. The great thing is you can intermingle in that reality, but your experience is the extraordinary. That's what everybody's really looking for. They don't really care if anybody else has it. The great thing is when it happens for you, you demonstrate that potential for all others, and then they desire it, right?
Yes.
But that's what's waiting. When people talk about this conscious shift that has the potential of existing here on this realm, that's really what will start to happen, because everyone's perception creates their reality. So what is real for you? What is real for you? You don't have to wait for everyone else to shift. You're the initiator of that potential. And you can do it in a moment.
And doing it in a moment, what does it necessitate?
You're allowing. You're allowing. And your work. And your intention. You have worked so hard to become disempowered. You really have. You've worked really hard at that. and to know that you become so powerful that you've created your fear, that you can use that same empowerment to clear it all up. And here's the great news. It takes a lot less time when you're using the rocket fuel of love than the tar of fear. When we say you can do it in a moment, everything lives in the moment of now. So for some of you, it may be literally time in a moment. For some of you, it may be a lifetime that we would say can be like a moment in ultimate reality. For others, it may take tens of thousands or millions or whatever. But when you reach the stage of listening to this type of programming, you've probably at the basic level hit your desire. And we can teletransport you into reality of that desire anytime that you choose.
Okay. What is the secret sauce? What is the door for that transportation?
Well, we provide all kinds of reminding services to you through courses, lectures, retreats, workshops, all the things that people love to do because they need to do the work. And we are honored when we are asked by our students to aid them in their remembrance, because we know that for every aspect of your potential that you recall, you expand our recollection as well. So we're really quite selfish that way, but it all works itself out.
This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm a certified coach, and I help people get booked on media. So if you need radio and podcast interviews, consider my services. Also, I'm a book writing coach, and I've got a company that takes your book to guaranteed international bestseller, and I assist you with media interview bookings. When you're ready to get your book written, take it to bestseller and be interviewed, email bestseller@debbiedashinger.com. Email bestseller@debbiedashinger.com. Or go to my website, debbiedashinger.com. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
You've had enough of seeking for your purpose. You are ready to start living it. Right now, you only need one answer. What realizing your life's purpose will look like. How exactly will you do that? You don't want to make another mistake, change careers, only to feel trapped and bored again. You want to absolutely know what your special gift is and who you are meant to serve with your gift. Great business ideas are just that. They are aligned with your true essence and make a profound difference in somebody else's life. Get your free Activate Your Life's Purpose call with Lyra Kay, an international best-selling author, quantum success business, life coach, and your creative genius activator. Lyra Kay will help you take the next step today so you can make an impact and realize your potential now. Book your call at shesgotpassion.com.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio Show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
So a quick recap here. I was asking about feelings being connected to thoughts. And Brad was just explaining about the premise of all the pieces of sand on the beach.
Earlier in the discussion, we talked about how humans, or Julius made the comment and used the sands of the seashore as an analogy to talk about how many thoughts you actually think about. Well, at the same time, you have every emotion that matches every one of those grains of sand that occupy the seashore. You've just forgotten them.
Yeah, most people have disconnected themselves from their vastness and limited the emotions that they accept, process, and demonstrate. And so that's why your life is limited on its expression and its demonstration of the things that you know. Your soul is the emotional processor of a thought. So we could tell you it is that which simultaneously passes into the pineal gland to process your reality. It is then teletransported throughout your circulatory system and felt throughout your whole embodiments. So your physical body is your thought actualized. You become your thoughts. You become your attitudes. You become your perceptions. You become your judgments first. Before it's even projected out your energy bandwidths or your auric field, and then creates an experience for yourself to know who you are in that which stands before you. You are manifesting it first. That's why humans decay. That's why they age. That's why they erode. Because most of their thoughts have such limited possibility attached to them. And that's a very slow vibration, and it eats your body energetically. We've always said that stress is your body eating itself.
Mm. Wow.
As we shift that and we do receive the thoughts and we attach emotions that we choose instead of that we are victim of, and we are consciously aware of what will happen if we don't choose wisely, we choose intentionally, wisely. And we get the rewards of that. And so does everyone else. Because then when you think love and you feel love, you then know love and you create love and demonstrate love.
And you attract love.
Right.
Can you give me an example? So I am really following. And at the same time, this is so big, this idea of choosing the vastness, all of that. I know the feeling it brings in me is tremendous, but I want to go there. Really, I do. Mm-hmm. And how can we fly? How can we exhibit that? What does it even look like to choose? And how do we know where to go to choose?
Let's take a step back and let's clarify for just a second. Mm-hmm. The choosing process has been taught by many practitioners for eons and is still taught today. It's just that nobody gives you the recipe
right. mm-hmm.
to put it into use. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do, mm-hmm. is you supply the ingredients. Mm-hmm. We're just showing you how to mix them.
One of the most profound things that human beings can do is practice what we call the open thought game. Most times when you gather with your friends, you gather socially, you gather in your workplace, you gather economically, and you gather politically, topics are suggested, and then that's the topic that rolls around. And it keeps everybody in the same space and in the same energy and in the same limitation. If instead you dare to gather your friends and you say, let's play the open thought game. It's a game that's familiar because you played it in kindergarten, the telephone game. But in this case, you say, we're going to begin, and Debbie's going to throw a crazy thought possibility out there, something that she's never thought about before. Could be anything. Could be a creature, a place, a thing, a possibility. And just going to throw it out in the room. Then each of you is going to take that inspiration and create another completely crazy thought. The thoughts are not allowed to make sense, and they are not allowed to link together so that something at the end makes sense. They are just designed to inspire imagination, fantasy. What you do is every time someone throws a thought out, everybody in the group has to pause and see what that thought feels like for them. You'll be amazed at how intimate this game becomes for you. You discover thought suggestions that you've never thought of, thanks to your friends. you discover emotions that you may have never processed before, thanks to your friends and this extraordinary collaboration of souls that was always intended to be just for your total expansion, but had become your limitation, is unleashed. And you spend time well, well. This helps you define and master the art for yourself. So in the morning, you begin your day with extraordinary thought possibility. And even though you may move through your day needing to move back into some of your mundaneness in order to operate, you begin your day with extraordinary, you end your day with extraordinary, and so the in-between time naturally has to become that as well. It is a practice, it is a discipline, and it is an experience.
I wanted to add, we find in a lot of the students that come to our teachings, it takes a while for you to recognize an emotion because you've never been allowed to experience an emotion, or they've been cut off or stifled. So we play another game that's called the white room theory. If you were stuck in a white room, and I want all your listeners to envision this and think about it as I'm talking. If you're in a white room with no doors and no windows, and you open your eyes and everything around you is white, and you don't even recognize yourself, what is it that you go to find out who you are? You have to fall back on your emotions.
Yeah. You start to pay attention to the way you feel about your thoughts. That's who you are. That's really who you are. So this is a game also that helps to refine your emotional capacity, refine your awareness, because who you are is how you feel about things. That's really who you are. A lot of people hide their feelings because, well, I feel angry about that, but that's not a good thing. So I'll stifle that feeling and I'll show up at the family reunion with a smile on my face, even though it's killing me because Uncle Alfred raped me when I was 12. And we say that just becomes that crustation. Now, that doesn't mean you have to walk into the room and belt Uncle Alfred in the face. But it does mean that you are allowed to feel, you are encouraged to feel, because that's the clearing process. That way, Uncle Alfred no longer binds you when you see him.
I'm so grateful you're saying this, because that was the question that's percolating is, so is grief, grief is real, grief is acceptable.
Grief should be the most clearing, enhancing, and expansive emotional journey that one can make, because the grieving process is only a process of you feeling like you missed out on something. Okay? So as you process all of your thoughts and your emotions about that which you believe you have lost, it helps to clear the field of regret, guilt, and resentment. But even better, to play that truth in all of your relationships throughout your life so that you have a completion and a knowing that all is well, no matter whether the physical is there or not, and you don't have to really grieve. You just shift into a new experience of the relationship. That's a totally different process. Death for us is a complete illusion. It is not real. It is nothing more than a shifting of an opportunity of a relationship. And if human beings had always understood that, they wouldn't grieve so much the way they were. They would have an opportunity to know relationship differently. And that is extraordinary. We understand the pain of physical loss. We do. We've been there. We've caused it. Okay? We understand. But the only thing that got past us was the broader perception. The broader perception. That way, nothing outside of you governs who you are from within. That's empowerment. Some people will say, well, you become cold and calloused and detached from that which you love. And we say, no, actually, you become extraordinarily connected. So you never have the loss in the first place. That's what heals it. Some people don't want to heal. Seems strange and ridiculous, but they sometimes shift into an identity of the loss. They can take on a new sorrow, a new aspect of victimhood, and an excuse for many, many things that they don't create in their life. Well, you know, she lost her son, so we totally understand now why she is depressed all the time, or detached all the time, or is an alcoholic, or is a drug addict. And we understand. And that's perfectly fine. But when that's an excuse for your potential, that becomes just a detriment and a block that can seemingly be impossible to get beyond. Comes back to empowerment, comes back to ownership and expansion, and working all of those things simultaneously, which actually does work all things simultaneously. And then you never feel loss. You only initiate and express and experience gain, because everything expands you.
So what if there is somebody who's a conglomerate? There is the victimhood, there is mm-hmm. the trauma, and yet there's this enormous capacity to love. Mm-hmm. What is the way to balance that or heal that so the crustacean doesn't have to be so solid, but instead one can break free into their full potential?
The first thing is for a victim to decide whether or not they're truly done with their victimhood. Many are not. Again, their victimhood is a great place to hide. It's a great place to excuse. And we say, continue to enjoy it, because you must finish it up. You must have it until your guts are full of it in order to be done with it. So go ahead. That's why when you see victims, you think to yourself, it's all good. They're getting their fill so that they don't have to return to it. But when you get the time where you realize that being a victim isn't solving any of your problems, it's making them worse, and you're willing to pick up the big girl and boy panties and say, I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to dare to be the empowered one that has created my victimhood, because then I can let it go. I don't need anybody else to let it go for me. That's a time of shift and awakening in and by itself. And then it's a journey out of victimhood, which is a journey out of judgment. A journey out of judgment. That's what it is.
What do you mean by that?
So victimhood is a perception that something good or bad or right or wrong has happened. That's a judgment. So as you alleviate judgment, you learn the ownership of the isness of choice. And take judgment away, and then you don't have to be a victim anymore. You're empowered. You're empowered. That's what heals. That's what heals. When someone says, yeah, you know, I really loved kicking the dog snot out of myself for such a long time, and now I don't anymore. And everybody's like, wow, you're brave, because I don't even know what that would look like. And we say, dare to open your eyes. And when you do, everything in your life is that mere conscious reflection back of what you know. So expand your knowing. Expand your acceptance. You're the only ones that can do it. But the good news is you have so much help around you just by asking for it.
Okay. Talk about that. I sometimes feel frustrated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get pissed off at God. I get pissed off at Source. I'm like, yo, I'm mm-hmm. talking. Mm-hmm. I'm talking here. Mm-hmm. But where are you guys? Mm-hmm. So what about that? Mm-hmm. You know, you could chat, but there's no physical result, at least as far as I've seen many times.
When you are waiting for someone or something outside of yourself to show up, you will always be frustrated.
And you will constantly wait.
Mm-hmm. So you,
why?
because it that's the process you've created.
And you are the powerful one.
Yeah, it comes somebody, from within you.
Not somebody outside of you.
Right. So we teach that you are God in physical. That doesn't create arrogance. Mm-hmm. That creates extraordinary compassion and understanding. And you say to yourself, why am I blocking this? Why am I blocking this? There must be something that's either concerning me or frightening me or stressing me about this situation. I have a limited perspective. I'm going to change out of that perspective. I'm going to get away from my stress, my fear, and my worry. I know that I am safe. I know that no matter what is, I expand. And all of a sudden, the phone call happens. All of a sudden, the person by the elevator happens. All of a sudden, the clients, 10 at a time, hit you and slam you. And you're like, good holy hell, am I going to manage this? We say, be careful what you wish for. Okay. But that's exactly how it happens. When we reach for things outside of ourselves, we have reached an extraordinary aspect of doubt within. We've let fear seep in. Go for a walk. Breathe. Call a friend. Have a great cup of tea. Cry. Laugh. Walk your dog. It will let go. It's your altered ego. And then come back and recalibrate and say, no, I'm going to create. Maybe I won't create this today. Maybe I'll create something else. So I'll go create something else, and you'd be amazed that the previous thing shows up. That's the energy of allowing. But it's work, but it is the most valuable work. When all of your parents and all of your ancestors told you, get up and work, use your hands, use your feet, get dirty. And the fulfillment and satisfaction from that process of knowing that you created something is what hits you. And a lot of people are missing that because they just want everyone else to do it for them. If we had an energy that did it for us, our souls would not be satisfied, because you're only satisfied in the process of doing yourself. That's what free will is. That's what free will is. Source, or you, desire to know yourself as everything. So you will be everything, and you will do everything. So please don't judge it, because you could not know yourself as the all unless you have experienced the all. If anybody else could do it for you, your soul would not be satisfied, because it has an insatiable appetite to know itself.
So if I hear two things, if thought creates, but also action creates.
It's not simultaneous. So many teachers talk about consciousness and energy, consciousness and energy. That's thought and emotion. So you think of thought and consciousness are the same thing. Energy and emotion are the same thing. So your emotion is the energy behind thought that propels it into a demonstration or a reality, and it works simultaneously together. So your emotion is the rocket fuel to the rocket that moves it into an experience. The problem is most people don't choose their thoughts or choose their emotions. So things get really screwed up and chaotic and unpredictable and traumatizing and fear-based in their life. The conscious journey is choosing your thoughts, choosing your emotions, and choosing your reality all the time. Seems like a lot of work, but it's much easier than cleaning up the mess. Mm. A great chef will tell you, clean up as you go, clean up as you go, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. This is you're cleaning your life up as you go, rather than trying to resolve it at the end.
That's cool.
Great analogy. Great chef will always clean, but humans make messes.
Yeah, until you don't.
And want to hire somebody else to clean up after them.
Yeah.
So for people who do have trauma, is that a reality? That something would happen that sort of spins one out or locks one right. up or creates PTSD or it some does. Kind of trauma?
Yes? It does. It your perspective creates your reality. End of story. End of story. That's why we say everything is true. Everything is true. And we understand that. Change your truth. Change your truth. Trauma is an extraordinary, impactful perception of limitation, okay? Fear and limitation. Whether it be physical trauma, emotional trauma, either of the two can freeze you. Mm-hmm. Your resolve still goes to your empowerment of knowing that you chose that experience to be expanded. Helps to ease the victimhood perspective of the action, because trauma is also an extreme victimhood perspective. This was done to me. I'm the victim of. I can't get past the control of this thing. And we tell you that with love and with honor, because we understand, but we want you to be able to release it. So we need to tell you this. When you've had your guts full of being a victim, you'll be brave enough to see your empowerment, not judge it, and then become it. That's the process of consciousness. That's the process of consciousness. And when you do that, you don't experience trauma ever again. ever again. When you hold trauma, everything becomes traumatic, right? So somebody who has post-traumatic, they experienced an extreme trauma. And what is so devastating is that things trigger that trauma or they attract another trauma experience for themselves because that energy is there.
And you're constantly reminded of it.
Right.
But who's allowing it to be reminded? Does that make sense? You are. You're the one that is reminding yourself of that experience over and over and over again. You're the only one that can stop it.
It's a process. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. But at least it's got the potential. It's got the potential for healing instead of, there's a great saying that says there's a difference between a cure and a healing. Right? Mm-hmm. This is where healing occurs. There's some things that will cure you till the next thing shows up and you need another curing and then the next thing. But when you heal, shit doesn't show up again.
You're done.
Yeah.
Julius, what is the most interesting or important thing you have learned this year?
That human beings, through the extraordinary demonstration of the millennia youth that are showing up, are finally learning to understand that age and wisdom do not necessarily go hand in hand. That's a breakthrough.
Oh, I love that. I'm a big hero of millennials, I'll tell you. And what about you? Most important thing you've learned this year or noticed this year?
How powerful I can become and not question it.
Because questioning it is a big part of the process. You do that a lot. That in and by itself becomes a task that can seem never ending. So as he continues to raise his consciousness, as we do, we get those extraordinary breakthroughs and it just comes off. The fear just comes off. That's where peace sits. Calm sits, bliss and joy, that continual flow instead of the tidal waves. Yeah.
It's beautiful. This is Dare to Dream. So what do you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams or goals or your now dreams or goals?
To be bigger than now.
Yeah. To expand everyone. Expand everyone. That's what we choose.
Thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your incredible wisdom and insights. I really appreciate it.
The honor is all ours.
If you enjoyed this show, share the link with your friends so they can enjoy the wisdom too. Thank you for joining me on Dare to Dream. Casey and Brad's website is expandwithjulius.com. Debbie Dashinger's website is debbiedashinger.com. Remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
Dare to dream. Believe in yourself. You're a star.